Well, good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Jen A. I reside in Colorado. I am a recovered compulsive overeater by God's grace and mercy. And today is Wednesday, May 7, 2025. It's 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Today we're reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous in the chapter titled Working with Others. We're on page number 95. And we're going to be reading the fourth paragraph today. It begins with, if he thinks he can do the job, through one paragraph ending with, let it go at that. We're going to comment on that one paragraph only, please. Today's readers are and the Team Wednesday crew is the following. The 12 steps, Stephanie R., 12 traditions, Jen P. Reader of the text is going to be Penny. Our closing reader is Patrick O. Our backup reader is Nancy P., and our newcomer greeter is Reva P. Our second hour moderator will be Jeannie B. And Kathy's doing announcements too. The reference number for yesterday, grab your pen and paper, Tuesday, May 6, 2025, is the following. For the 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time recording, we have 22,406. That's 22,406. And the 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time recording is 22,407. That's 22407. All right, well, here's the OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose here, OA's tradition states that each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Stephanie R. to read the 12 steps.
Good morning, Jim. Good morning, family. Stephanie R. from Missouri. Here are our 12 steps. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly ask Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Ten, continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you, and I pass.
I will now ask Jen P. to read the 12 traditions.
Good morning. This is Jen calling from New Jersey. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Stephanie R. and Jen P. for your service this morning. This is how our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and the literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. So to share, you'll press star 1 to unmute, and once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone again. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today we resume our study of the chapter Working with Others in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We're on page number 95 on that fourth paragraph, and I'll now ask Penny C. to begin reading.
Thank you. Good morning, Jen. Thank you so much. This is Penny C., and I'm recovered compulsive overeater, and I live in the Boston area. If he thinks he can do the job in some other way or prefers some other spiritual approach, encourage him to follow his own conscience. We have no monopoly on God. We merely have an approach that worked for us, but point out that we alcoholics have much in common and that you would like, in any case, to be friendly. Let it go at that. Wow, this paragraph has meant so much to me and to millions of other 12-step people that There's no AA God and there's no OA God. There's the God of my understanding. And boy, that really changed so much of my attitudes and beliefs and gave me a wonderful start in recovery. That the fact that no one person's ideas about God are true for everybody. I was so narrow-minded when I came to 12-step programs or before I did. I had the experience, like many of us that I've heard, of growing up with very sincere, lovely, kind people telling me that my religion was the one true one. And I actually remember feeling so sorry for anybody who didn't believe what I believed. And thank God that attitude has changed in my religion and lots of others, that all we need to do is have a higher power and believe in a higher power, that higher power can restore us to sanity and can help us recover. So today I have such respect and honor anybody's idea of a higher power. In fact, in this chapter, it says, get an idea of his religious leanings when we're working with a new person. And I do that when it's the right time by saying, what do you call your higher power? And whatever that person says, I honor that. I don't push my beliefs onto anybody else. And so the other thing I like here, point out that we have much in common. We, whatever our understanding of God, this, I don't think there's any of us who don't believe in the golden rule that we, you know, we do unto others as we would like them to do unto us. So we are really all part of one big family of God. And I'll end with this. When anyone says, what's your favorite title? And I have been asked that. Is it mother, grandmother, you know, nurse, teacher, whatever. My favorite title is child of God. And when I say I'm a child of God, it means that I'm a daughter of the King. Imagine that. And I just so privileged to be part of this program and have a God of my own understanding. And I'll pass with that. Thank you.
Oh, thanks so much, Penny C. from Boston, for hitting it off this morning with that great opening. And we do love everyone who's here today, and we value your experience, strength, and hope. We do ask that you limit your share and share the air to every third day in order that others might hear people's experience, strength, and hope, as well as yours. So, with that being said, if you'd like to share today, please give me your first name and the first initial of your last name.
Anayeta R.
Anayeta?
A-N-E-M-C.
I'm sorry, can you say that one more time? It was muffled.
Amy M-C.
Somebody M-C. Sorry, one more time.
Amy. That's okay. Amy, A-M-Y. Yeah, thank you.
Thanks. Okay, and the next person was?
Lee H.
Don't be shy. Press star one.
Roy C.
Thanks, Roy C.
Sigrid F.
All right, wonderful. So this is who we have this morning. We're starting our lineup with Hanietta R., Amy M.C., Leah H., Roy C., and Sigrid S. Hanietta, welcome. Go
yes.
Right ahead.
Hi. Thank you. I didn't get who's leading. What's your name?
This is Jen A.
Mm-hmm. Jen A. Good morning, Jen A. Thank you for your service. This is Hanietta R., and I am a recovered compulsive eater, and I live in Plano, Texas, just outside Dallas. You know, when I first came into program many, many decades ago, the third step is one of the things that made me really, really, really feel that I belonged. When it said God of our understanding, I had just moved from St. Louis, Missouri, which had a large Jewish population, to Bowling Green, Kentucky, where I didn't know of any Jewish people. There was no even synagogues at all, no temples, no nothing. And when I walked into that room and it said, God of our understandings, I said, I can be here. I can belong because I don't have to, I can believe what I want. And I'm accepted here. I just felt that it was like the best thing that ever happened. And it and that's how I've always believed. I feel a little bit, when I came in, I was ready. And I know I've said this before, but I actually put an ad in the newspaper that said, are you 50 pounds or more overweight and still eating? If so, I'm in the same boat. And somebody called me and took me to my first meeting. I was ready. I wanted fellowship. I wanted something to help me not compulsively eat. You know, I was tired of eating, you know, almost a whole turkey at one time or a whole huge brisket at one time. I was tired of doing that, sitting down and eating, you know, 20 candy bars. I believe it or not, I was tired of it. And it was making me really sick. You know, the doctors told me you have diabetes, and if you don't quit, you know, none of that helped. none of that helped. But when I got tired, when I got sick and tired of being sick and tired, is when that happened for me. And I just was really grateful that nobody cared that I was Jewish. I don't even know if they asked me. I mean, I don't know. I think they probably could tell. But, you know, but I just, anyway, it was great. And back then we did something called the Westminster Questions. And so my sponsor, the person who took me to the meeting, became my sponsor. And she was the only one who had abstinence at the meeting. And she took me through these 30 questions. And it really helped me so much. And at the meetings, we read through the big book. We that was part of our meeting. We read something from the big book every day, or every week. We only had one meeting. So I started going to AA meetings because I wanted to know more recovery. I wanted to see that this really worked. And I realized that I was an alcoholic, drug addict too. You know, prescription pills are just as bad as anything else. So I'm just so grateful.
Time, please.
Thank you. I'm so grateful to God, and I'm so grateful for all the miracles in my life. Don't quit 5 minutes before the miracle. There's one out there for everyone. Thank you again for your service, and I love you guys with all my heart. Thank you.
Thank you, Hanietta R. from Plano, Texas. Up next, we have Amy M.C. Good morning to Amy. Where are you calling from this morning?
Good morning. This is Amy M.C., recovered compulsive overeater, calling from Massachusetts. Oh, gosh, I love recovery, right? I love this book. I love everything it has to offer because it's a way of life for me. This is not a diet club. This is not a quick fix. This is a way of life. And what comes up for me when I hear the passage that was read are two major things. One, yes, we get to choose a God of our own understanding. And as it was being read, I was also reminded of being in face-to-face meetings where I found recovery and working with my first sponsor, who I love dearly, and I am so blessed to know her and to have her and have her go before me. And the reminder of, you know, find somebody who has what you want and ask them how they got it. And, that doesn't work for everyone, and that can be a slogan, which may or may, you know, things can be controversial. But for me, my experience was this. I came into the rooms. They were doing step 10, my first meeting. I'm sorry, excuse me. Step two. And I was like, oh, God, okay, you're here. This is amazing. A God of my own understanding. What is that? Is that blasphemy? What is that? And the acceptance that came next within my heart to understand that, yeah, my God is not the end all be all God. And look, my God was too small. My God couldn't help me with my food problems. Look at that person right there. She has what I want. She is in a normal-sized body. She talks about what she did with food and it being the same thing that I did with food. And she has a God of her understanding. And I see God lighting her up and lighting, like, there. It's just coming out of her. Like, I see that. And my second sponsor and my third sponsor, that's what I saw in these women who came before me. I saw and see God. That's what I want to be. I want to emulate God. I want people to see, you know, and not in a boastful way. I want to somehow be humble about it, and that's what I've been praying for lately. But I want to shine this light that I've been given through these steps and working with this big book and a power greater than myself, the God of my understanding, who is so big and so strong and so powerful and can do anything, everything, and does everything for me so that I can suit up and show up and be here today to share what I have. I have recovered from compulsive overeating, and one day at a time, I get to show up. And my son's calling me, so I'm going to pass. Have a blessed day, everyone.
Well, thank you so much, Amy MC from Massachusetts. Actually, that's perfect timing. So up next, we have Leah H, followed by Roy C. Good morning, Leah. Where are you calling from today?
Well, hey, Jen, this is Lee H, and I spell it like the boy's name. Good morning.
Oh,
this
well,
is
thank
Lee
you for
H
the correction.
That's fine. Thank you for hearing my voice, and I'm so grateful to be here this morning. I'm a grateful compulsive overeater, and I was so glad to be able to clearly identify in with this paragraph this morning. The sentence that says, if he thinks he can do the job in some other way or prefers some other spiritual approach, encourage him to follow his own conscience. And that truly was a miracle for me a few weeks ago working with a sponsee. I don't know that I could have done that a year or two ago. I think I would have personally been, it would have probably hurt me, you know, my pride and all, to think that, well, they didn't choose the way that I wanted them to go. But this person that I was working with, we really connected on the phone. We just, you know, we just had such good conversations. We found a lot of commonality in our lives with our families, not only with families, but with, you know, hobbies and with our disease. And we really enjoyed our conversations. However, she had a daughter that wanted to go to a what pay and what program, and she felt like she was supposed to go with her to do that with her. And so I was, you know, I had not ever had that experience before as a sponsor. But she chose a different way, and yet we still are in touch. And I'm so grateful that we became friends, and I let down my pride and just trusted God. You know, I still trust God that he's going to work in each person, because it's true. He, you know, as it says in the above, the last sentence of the last paragraph, if he is to find God, the desire must come from within. And, you know, I'm just glad it's not my responsibility. I want to show people in my voice. Maybe they hear God in me. You know, we're on the phone, so we can't really see each other. And but, you know, I'm just trusting that God's using me and working in me with other people, and I'm really enjoying it. So with that, I'll pass.
Thanks, Lee. Where are you calling from today again?
Tennessee.
Thank you so much. So Lee H, that's L-E-E-H from Tennessee. All right, up next we have Roy C, followed by Sigrid S. Good morning to you, Roy.
Good morning. This is Roy C from Southern New Jersey. And it's wonderful to be here this morning and to speak about this. The many paths of spirituality is a great subject of And I was introduced to it as a child. I had a grandmother that would visit her children throughout the states and towns. And on Sunday morning, she would gather up children and head for the church nearest her house, because the God of her understanding would be wherever she ended up. And it was inside of her. And I've been brought up to believe that more each day, and thank God that I'm abstinent today, and I pray that I'll be abstinent tomorrow, because that higher power exists everywhere. It's in the rooms, it's on the phone, it's in an opera house that gets silent when the lights go down, right before the musician comes on the stage. It's a wonderful thing, and for me, it keeps me abstinent each day, and I keep hoping for it. And I thank everybody for being here this morning, because the higher power is on this phone, and I thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Roy C. from Southern New Jersey. Up next, we have Sigrid S. Sigrid, go right ahead.
Good morning, everybody. Sigrid S. now, living in North Carolina.
You know, it's even yesterday I got a call from a sponsee, and one of the first things I want to know is, what's your morning practice? Do you have one? Do you connect with God, any kind of higher power? And it's amazing. I used to just say, okay, this is what you have to do. And now I don't do that anymore. I ask them, what do they already do? And then try to build on whatever it is that they already do. And, you know, in the beginning of program, I came to this program with prejudices against religions that didn't respect or like me or my religion. And I came to realize over time that there are different ways to get to a higher power, lots of different ways. And many of them are through religion, and sometimes it's not even through religion. And that's because people are as varied as, you know, we are all so different. And so God is big enough to change the way God treats us so that we can all reach him. And yeah, now my heart is more open. Like the big book says, be open to how other people do things. My heart is more open, understanding that what it takes for one person to find a higher power can be very different for someone else to find that same higher power. And I appreciate for that awakening in me, and that God is so big. Thanks. I'll pass there.
Thank you, Sigrid S. from North Carolina. Well, if you've just joined us on the line this morning, this is where we're at. We're in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous in the chapter titled Working with Others. We're on page number 95, reading the fourth paragraph. It begins with, if he thinks he can do the job, and it ends with, let it go at that. We're just going to read and comment on that one paragraph only, and we do value your experience. We ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you'd like to share this morning, please say your first name, the first initial of your last name.
Vanessa K.
Teresa A.
Vanessa?
Darren
Vanessa K.
Okay, let me tell you who I heard. I heard Darian K, and I think I asked if it was Vanessa, but I'm so sorry you got talked on top of.
Lucy B.
Reva P.
Jennifer C.
Teresa A.
Rivka R. New Jersey.
Okay, let me tell you who I heard, and I... There was a little snafu at the beginning, so we'll kind of figure out who that was. And I think of Vanessa, then a Darian K, Lucy B, Reva, Jennifer, Teresa, and Rivka. Who did I miss in there? All right, well, let's get started with that lineup. Sounds good. Vanessa K, or correct me if I'm wrong. I'm sorry I couldn't hear you very well. Go right ahead. Is there a Vanessa or somebody?
Jen,
it's
Vanessa. Sorry about that.
Thank you. It's okay.
Sorry.
It's hard when everyone's talking at the same time. Go ahead, Vanessa. Where are you calling from?
Thanks. I'm calling from Cincinnati, Ohio. Recovered for today. Listen every day and very rarely share. But a story came up for me this morning that I wanted to put out there. You know, I was raised like so many with this fire and brimstone mentality of what my God was growing up. And that's so hard to come out of. And a couple of years ago, my mom was in the process of crossing over, and she was terrified to die. And she was afraid she was, you know, going to go to hell. And she literally couldn't get past it. And at the time, I'm going to say she was 15 or 16 years old. A daughter, the whole family was standing there. I have two kids, and they were 15 and 16-ish at the time. And my 16-year-old said to my mom, try this on for size. What if there's no heaven or hell? What if the hell that we put ourselves through is really just the thoughts that go through our head? And everything else is just joy. And, you know, you can imagine grown adults standing there listening to their daughter say this. I mean, our jaws were on the floor that she would come up with that and was inspired to say that, that hell is really what's in between our ears. The thing is, I mean, today that has helped me with my God of understanding. My mom sloughed it off and said, no, that's not it. And my husband and I laughed. But today, you know, the God of my understanding helps me with the hell in between my ears, which used to lead me to eat. And that's the beauty of, you know, trying to get to the God of my understanding and turn that, you know, way of thinking around, not only in the way I was raised and what I have to do and following rules, but also realizing that the lower power is what's in between my ears. And just getting up every day and connecting with that higher power has helped me, you know, reach my God of my understanding and, you know, live a recovered life and be aware of my reactions and responses to life. And so I just had to share, you know, out of the mouths of babes, you know, comes the ability to live every day in joy, and to accept that and understand that God that we're trying to all connect with one day at a time and to quiet that lower power. So I'm going to pass, Jen. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Knessa K. from Ohio. Up next, we have Darian K. in Massachusetts. Darian?
Hi, Jen. Can you hear me okay?
I can. Go right ahead.
Okay, good. Thank you. Good morning. Good morning, everybody. This is Darian K. I'm in the Berkshires in Western Massachusetts, and grateful on the line with all of you. You know, I was thinking when I first came into program, and I heard God, and I saw that on the part of the steps on the wall when I came into the meetings. I didn't understand. I was like, what? I don't understand. Wait a minute. Where's the scale? Where's the, you know, the lady in the suit with the little pins? And where is the stuff that I'm so used to? And it wasn't anywhere, right? It was just, there were just people smiling and thin. Like, what is going on? And it's, you know, it just, it took time for me to really understand that this is a spiritual program, because that's not where my head was when I first came in. That's not, that wasn't my mentality at all. And, you know, when I saw it, really, God has so many more important things to about. I mean, you know, if there were wars or peace or famine, whatever, big things, right? And, oh, what would he want? How could he possibly help little old me, you know, in this universe? And, you know, as time went on, you know, I started believing more in higher power. I really do believe that in the beginning it was the group, because, you know, there were just so many amazing people that shared from their heart. It was my sponsor, because she definitely had what I wanted. She was tall and thin, and I'm still not tall. At least I'm thinner. But, you know, I just wanted what she had. And so she was almost my higher power, which is, I would not recommend that for anybody, but it seemed like I just put her in a place, you know, that I looked up to, obviously, as we do a lot of times when people have what we want. But today, you know, almost 40 years later, I know there's a higher power in my life, and it's my own personal understanding. It's, you know, and it's in my heart. It's not in any synagogue or religious building. It's, you know, it's in my heart, and I carry it around. I carry him around wherever I go. And it's just lovely. It's lovely having the knowledge of knowing that we're never alone in this world, that we're walking hand in hand, side by side, shoulder to shoulder, with each other and with our higher power, and that, you know, we can get through anything in life. Life definitely deals many joys. I'm feeling lots of joy today with regard to my daughter, who just turned 34 yesterday, but I'm also feeling, you know, some tension and fear around other things in my life, and I can walk through all of that and not pick up the food because I have a higher power in my life. That's the bottom line. It's amazing, and it doesn't get old. I'm still amazed, still grateful, and will never take it for granted, God willing. And so thank you, and I'll pass.
Thanks, Darian K. from Massachusetts. Up next, we have Lucy B., followed by Reva P. Where are you calling from this morning, Lucy?
Good morning, everybody. I'm Lucy B. from Florida, although I happen to be in West Virginia right now. Thank you so much, everybody, for your service this morning. This paragraph strikes me in several ways. I think a little bit like the paragraph before, it's reminding us to tread lightly, that when we're meeting somebody who might be interested in the program, we want to make sure that we're planting a positive seed. You know, that if this person chooses not to pursue the program now, nothing has happened. We haven't said or done anything that would keep them from wanting to come back to the program at some other time. And this is such a powerful, powerful statement here. We have no monopoly on God. You know, in recovery, I know what works for me in this program. I don't know what works for you. When I agree to work with somebody, I'm sharing my experience, my strength, and my hope. I don't necessarily know what their experience, their strength, and their hope is even going to be, right? And I can make that clear. I can say, I don't know what will work for you, but this is what works for me. And I think that we, you know, we need to always be supportive in any spiritual endeavor. You know, like it says, we have a lot in common, so it's a good idea to maybe check out what worked for other people, like the people that you have something in common with, right? This food problem. But if you choose not to, hey, let's stay in touch. You know, let's be friendly. Thanks. I pass.
Thank you so much, Lucy B. from Florida. Up next, we have Reva. Reva P., go right ahead.
Good morning, Jen. This is Reva P., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Toronto. And as I'm reflecting on this paragraph, I think for me, it's encouraging me to just stay open-minded. Stay open-minded. Remember, I'm not God. I don't know everything. So when it comes to the first sentence, you know, doing the job another way and following another spiritual approach, I'm thinking about my first sponsor, and I'm so grateful because soon after I came into OA, I was accepted to a treatment program. And a lot of what they suggested is not in alignment with the 12 steps, physical allergy philosophy. And I'm so grateful that I was still working or in touch with that sponsor. And she was open. And, you know, some of the things I learned at that program were really helpful, and I was able to integrate it into, you know, my practice, and some of it was really not helpful. And then for myself, on the other end of it, I've had people in my path who I've worked with who, you know, this wasn't for them. And they found there's other approaches, even within OA, there's so many different ways. There's Vision for You, there's, you know, we could probably list, there's so many other ways. There's so many things outside of OA. Like, how do I know? All I can do is offer my experience, strength, and hope, and stay open, because sometimes somebody needs another program. Sometimes it is about integrating other things in with this, and I'm not in charge. And then this no monopoly on God. I heard this AA speaker, and
I thought it was so brilliant, talking about, you know, different ways in God of our own understanding. He said it's like we're all trying to get to the top of this mountain. And as we're on this journey, you know, seeking the top of the mountain, and there's all these different donkeys that can take us up there. There's a white one, there's a gray one, there's a black one. And we all get on these different donkeys, and maybe we take different routes, but we're all going up the mountain. And I guess the difference here is, you know, spiritual awakening is not like a destination. It's constant growth. But, you know, there's all different ways. Some people explore different ways of meditating. Some people, you know, have this concept of a higher power. And for myself, too, I don't stick to just one way all this time, right? Like my concept changes and I explore and I check it out, because this is about seeking. I'm constantly seeking God. I'm constantly needing more spiritual awakening in entire abstinence, because that gives me the power for the food to be quiet. So to stay open myself for growth and be open that other people might need other things at different times. And we have no monopoly, like who do I think I am? But for the grace of God, am that newcomer. So with that, I pass.
Perfect timing. Thanks so much, Reva P. from Toronto. Up next, we have Jennifer C. Good morning, Jennifer.
Hey, sorry. Good morning, Jen. Thank you for your service this morning. Thank you, everybody, for your shares. Beautiful meeting. So if I look a few sentences above this paragraph and I see the ending of the last paragraph, if he is to find God, the desire must come from within. I think back to Bill's story, and, you know, we often use Bill's story to see how we relate, right, to his diseased state. And we see that regret didn't get him sober. His health, his deteriorating health didn't get him sober. Loss of money didn't get him sober. His family didn't get him sober. The fear didn't keep him sober, right? Got him sober, didn't keep him sober. All the things that couldn't keep him sober. And what finally kept him sober was crossing all those things off the list one at a time and coming to a place where it was going to be God or it wasn't going to happen. And the thing that got him sober ultimately was seeing God, God's power at work in another human being, hearing of God's love, God's power, God's way of life in another human being, wanting what another human being had when it came to God. That's what got Bill sober. And so this disease can kick my butt. I can have the binges of all binges. I can think I'm going to choke to death on peanut butter. And you know what? I'm going to eat again. That's what this book is teaching me. I'm not done. I'm not going to be done until God takes over and gives me this spiritual experience that I'm so desperate for. And when I look at Bill's story, what I see is that he gradually became so much more open to God completely taking over. And the only way he got there was by crossing everything else off the list. It's going to be God, or I got nothing left. And I remember for myself, that was such a gradual process. And it was going to be God through this program, right? Because I already had God. I had my Christian faith. I was solid in what I believed. But you know what? There was so much self-will standing in the way. And when it comes to us addicts, it has to be God's will or we are screwed. Self-will is so strong and deadly for us that it is a gradual process to surrender my will and my life one day at a time through this program to God. And that's the only place I'm safe, is within the will of God. Otherwise, I will destroy myself. That's what this book teaches me. Somebody else, they don't have to be in the white center to stay safe. But me as an addict, I have to strive for the white center. Otherwise, I'm in the gray, and that means I'm not safe anymore. So
I am so grateful for this book that teaches us how to live in the center of God's will one day at a time. And when we get off track, we have a very proven, workable way to get back on track. But for me, I know that it is about knowing how desperate I am for God's power in my life one day at a time. And that is the only thing that is keeping me sober. And thank you all for being here this morning. And with that, I pass.
Thanks, Jennifer. Where are you calling in from today, please?
I'm in Greenville, South Carolina.
South Carolina. Thank you. All right, everybody. Jennifer C., Greenville, South Carolina. Up next, we have Teresa. Teresa, where are you calling from?
This is Teresa A. in Silver Spring, Maryland. Can I be heard?
Thanks. Yes, you can. Go right ahead.
Okay, fantastic. Thank you very much. So as I read that first sentence in this paragraph, if he thinks he can do the job in some other way or prefer some other spiritual approach, encourage him to follow his own conscience. And I think that's very sage advice, because guess what? They're going to follow their own conscience anyway. They're going to do it anyway. It reminds me of when I first started attending big book phone meetings years ago. And on this one particular meeting, I would often hear a refrain repeated over and over again. They would say, a man convinced against his will is of the same opinion still. And that really landed for me, and it sticks with me all these years, because with my experience in program, almost 2 decades, with lots of relapse and lots of self-will, there were some things that I didn't get until I actually got it. The previous paragraph mentions two things. It says, you know, sincerely interested, and someone has to decide for himself. In this paragraph, we're talking about a higher power, but this is universally applicable when it comes to program. And it's whether or not I was willing to surrender a particular food or adhere to a particular food plan. People would come to me with convincing arguments, really deep reasoning about why I should do something. And sometimes I would say yes. I would say yes, but I would always revert, because if I hadn't truly adopted it for myself and I was truly convinced, then I really didn't believe it. On the A Vision for You line, somewhere in our archives, there's a special edition called Compliance versus Surrender. And what this is telling us is that we shouldn't be just getting people to comply. Until someone has a real surrender for themselves, then they're not going to follow it. So that's really good guidance for me. I'm not trying to get anyone to comply. And then finally, it talks about being friendly and letting it go at that. If someone has a different point of view, I can't be judgmental or condemning or even closed off. I'm here to be open and a light and just be available. Thank you, and I pass.
Sorry about that. Thank you, Teresa A. from Maryland. Up next, we have Rivka R. Rivka, go right ahead.
Hi, good morning. This is Rivka R. from New Jersey. Thanks, everyone, for your service. Thanks all for being here. This paragraph just reminds me of an experience that I had. Thank God performed a huge miracle for me and took away well over 100 pounds of my excess body weight. A neighbor approached me, someone, you know, who we, you know, before I joined OA, we used to talk about diets and food and complain and all that, you know, and she saw that I had some type of solution, that I had a solution. And, I mean, she didn't really know what it was, but she just wanted, you know, that she was looking for the weight loss. So I told her about a little bit about OA, and I told her to come to a meeting. So she came to a few meetings, and I thought she was, you know, pretty desperate. She was, like, willing to just try anything and to lose weight. And but I know she came to the meeting, and she just was really turned off about the whole God talk, and I know just the way that the, I don't know, she just didn't like the vibe, and tried a few. She tried, like, she came, I think, to about 3 meetings, and she just said, you know, that it's not for her. And I felt a little, I just feel like a little bad, but, you know, like I said there, I just let it go. So she, you know, she didn't think that it was right for her. You know, I can't take it personally, and I can just let her, you know, try what she feels is right for her. And we're still friends, and that's all. You know, and I will pass. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Rivka in New Jersey. And we're going to go ahead and take a couple of other shares. We have time for about 2 more. So is there anyone else that would like to share today who hasn't shared?
Anita L.
Anita L. And Anita J. That's cute. It's a good thing I know your voice, Anita J. All right, Anita L., you go first, followed by Anita J. What a fun way to take us out. Go right ahead, ladies.
Yes, yes. Good morning, everybody. This is Anita L. from outside of Philadelphia. So I'm listening to everybody, and I was thinking of something completely different. And then this hit me. I don't really have to look too far to find someone who I can share this program with. I can just look at myself and see how I have changed through the decades in this program. Growing up with a religion, not really bringing that into my soul at all, you know, just going out of respect to my parents. And then coming into Overeaters Anonymous at the age of 23 and not knowing anything, not knowing that it was a 12-step program, not knowing what it was about. And when I heard God mentioned, I really didn't want anything to do with that. I just wanted to lose weight. And then I began to emerge and develop and bring these concepts slowly into my heart. And I used pronouns back then when I talked about God. First it was he, then it was she, then it was he, she. And someone said, why do you even need a pronoun? And today I just feel this loving, beautiful, spiritual energy within my soul when I meditate in the morning every day. And to me, that is my higher power, my personal higher power. And we are so lucky that we can have our own conception of God. And that's what did it for Bill. That's when he had his spiritual revelation. And I did have that same type of white lightning type of experience. And it blew me away. And I just really needed and wanted God at that moment. And then since then, I've had, you know, quieter spiritual awakenings, and there's so many miracles. And this came to me also that today is 15 months of recovery. That's a miracle. I could never do that. It has to be my higher power. And, you know, the weight loss part is a fringe benefit. I'm so grateful. I have a thin body today. My body moves well. I'm 70 years old, and my body works better than it ever did. I have more stamina. I have more zest for life. And I believe my higher power is hugely responsible for this and my willingness to take action on a daily basis. So I'm so grateful for all of you. I love this meeting in particular. There's so many great Overeaters Anonymous meetings, and I hope for the newcomer that you can keep coming back as I did. And yeah, one day at a time, we can all get well together. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Anita L. from Philly. And our last Anita. Anita, you have about a minute and a half left, is Anita J. Tell everybody where you're calling from this morning, please.
I'm calling from Massachusetts, west of Boston. My God has a sense of humor. He's got a lot of things, but he has a sense of humor because the first meeting I ever went to was in a temple, and it was in the same room that I used to be the God. I was the lecturer for one of the Way and Pays, and no scale, no nothing, as they said before. But the leader that day who was qualifying brought up God. From the beginning, I heard it, but hearing it in my head didn't get to my gut. It took a lot longer than the first meeting for me to know that he's always been there, whether I knew it or not. And right now in my life, sometimes he speaks to me through hymns. And there's one, I'm not going to sing it, folks, but it starts with, Yahweh, I know you are there, standing always by my side. And that's true, and that's been going on the last couple of days. I've been singing. In fact, I looked up on YouTube some of the lyrics so I could learn more. And that's how he speaks to me. Tomorrow he may teach me in another way, but this is the way it's working right now. And I'm very grateful, particularly to this meeting, where I hear other people. And also, one last sentence is, I heard this a long time ago. Your God has got nothing to do with me. I don't need to know. You don't have to describe to me what your God is, because as long as you've got one and you know it's not you, you'll be set. And that's what I have found for myself. And I think that must be a minute and a half, Jen.
It is. Thank you so much, Anita.
Okay.
J. Perfect.
Pass.
Good. Yeah, thank you. All right, and last is Anita J. from Massachusetts. Thank you so much, ladies. Thank you to everybody who shared on the meeting. Thanks, for everyone, for being present today in the meeting. Please join us for a second and recorded hour of study immediately following the closing. Here's the share ID. So it's Wednesday, May 7th, 7 a.m., and the number share ID for the 7 a.m. meeting is 22,413. That's 22413. We will now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Patrick O., could you please read A Vision for You?
Hey, I'm Patrick O. from Tennessee, compulsive eater. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and the great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge up the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.